Welcome back to the Profit Your Knowledge podcast. Today's guest is Emma Hine, and I'm super, super stoked about this conversation because Emma Hine is a business strategist, but she has such a cool story about how she created a million pounds. She's from the UK, but million pound per year e-commerce business, and it basically took over her life. So she decided to stop making $1 million, you know, or millions of dollars, and kind of cut things back and kind of slow down a bit more, but still have a great income. And I just think that's so cool because everyone thinks you have to be a millionaire. So this is someone who's become a millionaire, and then she kind of backed up a bit, and we're going to talk about the lessons learned, why she did it, and changes that she made. And I'm really excited about it. So how are you doing today, Emma?
I am great. Thank you so much for having me. I'm really looking forward to this conversation.
Me too. I think it's so funny. And we were just chatting a little bit before we hit record about how everybody's thing, or most, I say everybody, but most people, it's like, oh, be a millionaire. And they just think about the money rather than the life fulfillment and the time aspect of it. And it's like, I'd rather make multiple six figures and work 20 hours or less each week than be making millions of dollars working 80 hours a week. I mean, obviously the real goal is make millions of dollars working like 10 hours a week. Like that's the real goal, you know? It's just a crazy thing that people think you have to make millions of dollars to like be quote unquote successful and secure. So hearing your story is going to be really cool. So I'd love just to hear, you were doing e-commerce. Now you're a business strategist. You teach people business strategy and stuff. Tell me real quick, a bit of the journey, that you've had. You know, what made you decide to one, become an entrepreneur in the first place? I'm always interested in that because I think it's not a normal path for a lot of people. I think it's becoming more common. But what made you decide to be an entrepreneur? And then how did you kind of get to where you are today?
Yeah, well, I was working in the corporate world back in here in the UK. I'd worked my way up the corporate ladder, so I was in a reasonably good job. I was happy in my job. I wasn't unhappy, but I always wanted a little bit more. And when I say more, it wasn't financially more, it was more freedom. You know, the stuff we've just been talking about, more time to spend with the family, more time to be able to travel, to be able to pick and choose what I did when. So I launched my own business because in my head, the best way to get freedom is to work for yourself, because then you can actually create whatever you want to create in terms of time, money, and all of the other stuff that goes with it. And the e-commerce business was what we launched. And I did it with my husband at the time. We launched the e-commerce business, and it took a little while to get it up and running because I was still working, you know, full time in my corporate job. So I was doing it as a side hustle at the beginning. So it took a while to get it up and running. About 2 years, I left my corporate job and went full time into the business because by then it was making enough money to cover my salary, which was the important thing at the time. And as soon as I moved into the business, it grew very, very quickly. And, you know, within a short space of time, it had gone from turning over, you know, perhaps, you know, 150 odd thousand pounds. I'm talking in pounds, 150-ish thousand pounds, you know, up to high, you know, six figures. So that happened very, very quickly, which meant bringing on teams, investing in a warehouse, all the logistical stuff that sits around it. It was a lot of stuff to do in a very, very short space of time. And whilst I was doing this, whilst this was happening, the thing that I forgot was what I'd started the business for in the first place, which was this freedom, you know, this opportunity to do my thing, my time, you know, whenever and whatever I wanted. And I was working, you talk about working 80 hours a week. 80 hours a week was a good week for me. You know, it was 90 plus hours a week, every week, you know, and that was over 7 days. It was every single day, every holiday that I went on to, you know, the laptop came with me. The children, it was as though they had to book appointments in my diary to actually, you know, be able to say good morning to me. And that wasn't what I wanted. That wasn't the lifestyle that I'd chosen to launch a business for.
Yeah, I think it's crazy. I remember reading some comments in YouTube. I love reading YouTube comments, just pro tip. It's a great way to learn about your audience and pain points and dreams and desires and stuff that people have, is just skimming through YouTube comments with different videos. So I do it a lot. And I remember seeing this one where the guy who posted was like, I really just, you know, I don't need to be a millionaire. I just want to, like, I don't really care so much about that. I just want security for me, my family, and I want to be able to pick and choose, like what you're talking about. It's that autonomy piece, to do what I want, when I want, with who I want. And that's what people really want. And I was like, that's so cool. It's so like pure what he said. And I agree with him. And then everybody who replied to his comment was like, so you want to be a millionaire? So like, you need to be a millionaire. And they all have like one subscriber next to their name, you know? And I'm like, these people don't even understand. They just assume that you do. But it's like, if you are making $500,000 a year and you had, you know, like 20 hours a week, or you're working under 40 hours a week, like a part-time job basically, but you're making 500K per year. Like, do you think that that'd be enough to take care of your family? It's like, yeah, I think anybody would be in a good position doing that. And you're at a halfway to $1 million, you know? So it's just people who haven't really experienced more income like that. They just assume that you have to be a millionaire to do that, but more money comes with more problems, kind of what you're saying, which I think is really interesting. And by the way, you said you were talking in pounds. I looked it up. £1 million equates to, at least currently, 1,263,000 US dollars and 800 US dollars. So it's about,
there you go.
Yeah, that's the rough, you know, estimate. So it's more in US dollars than it is in pounds. So when you had this kind of realization, let's unpack this a bit more, that like, what, tell me about the time where you sat down. And was it your kid coming up? Like, what was it that made you pause and say something needs to change?
The honest answer is it took me a long time, and it took me a lot of things that I should have listened to. There was a lot of, you know, you get the warning signs with your health. I had a lot of warning signs with my life, really, in terms of, you know, the fact that it wasn't going the way that I wanted it to go. But by this point, I'd got to the stage where I felt like I had got to keep going, because if I didn't, the whole thing would potentially fall down around me. And I there was a lot of pressure in terms of, you know, you've built this, now you need to sort of live with it, so to speak, and you need to make more money and keep going and keep doing these things. Because with money becomes, you bring in more expense. You know, the bigger the business got, the more people that we were responsible for, you know, bigger team, you know, the bigger the houses that we bought, the faster the cars were that we bought. So our lifestyle changed quite a lot with the money that came in. So your responsibility just changes completely. Yes, there's more money, but actually there's more expenses, there's more responsibility, there's all of this stuff. So I had numerous times where, you know, I knew that something was wrong. My daughter was in hospital for a while, one Christmas, and I was in hospital with her because she was young and, you know, she couldn't be there on her own. And I knew at that point that, you know, what I was doing wasn't right, because I felt, this sounds terrible, this sounds really terrible when I replay it, but I felt worse that I was sort of stuck in the hospital because I'd got work that I needed to be doing and couldn't do. Wow. Than anything, which is a terrible, terrible thing to do, because, you know, I needed to be there for her.
I think you were just so programmed to be in that work mode that, like, that was your identity, was having to work all the time. Because obviously, yeah. I mean, I know you care about your daughter. There's no question. Like, you would do anything for your kids. But I get that, you know, that's kind of like me when I was transitioning from having to work in a job, for example. I had the identity of being an employee and working all the time. And if I were to make money, I'd have to be actively doing time in order to be on the clock making money. So when I started growing my business, you know, generating income every month, whether I was working or not, then I would be sitting down, or I was really tired one day and it's like, oh, I should be working. But it's like, I'm still going to make money this month and we're going to be fine. Like, it's not, I can take today off and it's totally fine. No worries. So I realized that, and I just kind of had this aha that I was just programmed and so used to being the employee where I was trading my time for money, that when I started having money making me money and processes and stuff like that, then I could step away and it was totally fine. But it's just like, we get these kind of mental ruts. I feel like that's what you were dealing with. Would you agree?
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely. So, you know, that was point number one. I became very depressed. I became very low. I was drinking alcohol to block out the bad day, and every day was a bad day. So, you know, obviously that means the alcohol's consumed every single day. I wasn't eating, so my weight dropped off. But externally, everything was fine. You know, the lipstick got put on and, you know, the smile got on my face and nobody would know what was going on behind the scenes. So from a mental health point of view, there was lots of points during that journey, lots of very, very low points. And I don't know how deep you want this podcast to go, but there were some very extreme low points, you know, during a few years that were there. And, you know, they were all times when I should have recognised that. But every day up I'd get, the next day, back into work, like nothing was going on, like nothing would happen. It wasn't until, you know, 2020, and this is 10 years after my daughter was in hospital. So this has been going on for at least 10 years in my head. It was Christmas 2020, on the tail end of the lovely COVID, that I thought, I just have to do something differently. I can't keep going like this. You know, I'm getting older. By this point, my children are getting, you know, more grown up, more independent and not needing me as much. And I'm starting to think about, you know, the future and how much longer I will be around if I just keep working myself so, so hard. And I just thought, something has to change.
Yeah, that's powerful. So when you had this realization, just 10 years, that's crazy, of, you know, from when your daughter was in the hospital and you just did it for 10 more years. Like, that's a long time, whole decade of it. It's wild. You're making money, sure, that's great. But just you kind of writing it out, that's wild. So you had this realization. And then what were the changes you made and how did you kind of approach making those changes?
Yeah, they were pretty radical changes. And the honest answer is I didn't know what the impact financially was going to be. I had an impact on lots of things. I decided to close the business to allow myself some time to reassess, you know, what else can we do? Because whilst I'd been so busy, I'd taken my foot off the ball in terms of, you know, strategically, is there something different we can do with this business that means that I have got more time, stop trading my time quite so much for, you know, for money in effect. So I did that and I ended up with the business closed for 3 weeks while I really delved into what I wanted my life to look like and how I could create a business model that would give me more of that. So the business at the time was, you know, fully self-fulfilled. We had our own warehouse, our own logistics. We did all of that sort of stuff. But what I decided to do, and this was a new adventure for me, was to cut it all back. And what I was choosing to leave, we would fulfill by Amazon. So we would turn it into an FBA, fulfilled by Amazon business, which meant we would lose our own customer base because it wouldn't be fulfilled via our website anymore. It wouldn't be coming on and buying from our website anymore. But I thought, I need to give this a go. If it doesn't work, I can take it back. I won't shut everything away. I will see what happens. And it took about 3 months to fully implement it because I didn't want to just like shoom, straight away. We'd got a lot of stock in the warehouse, you know, all of the things that we needed to logistically sort out. So it took about 3 months and it was March 2021. When we shipped our last self-fulfilled order from our warehouse, and we haven't shipped one since. The impact in that first year, it was about the income dropped back down to about 600,000, so it virtually halved in the first year. But my amount of work dropped from working up to 90 hours a week down to about 10 to 15 hours a week, literally overnight. It was the weirdest, weirdest feeling I have ever experienced.
You're like, what do I do?
And that was the problem. That absolutely, at that point, was the big problem. I had no idea what to do with my time. No idea at all.
So what did you do? What did you start asking yourself? What else could I do? Or how'd you kind of process it?
Yeah, I always say I went off to an island and found myself again. I absolutely didn't. I stayed at home. Nowhere near that fancy.
A little mental island.
Yeah. But I did. I spent a lot of time because what I realized at this point is I had got so lost during the process. I didn't know who I was anymore. I didn't know what I liked doing. I didn't know what I wanted to do with my life. And so I needed to spend some time just getting to know me again. Mm-hmm. And that's what I did, really. And that's what became clear to me at that point, that I wanted to be able to help other people not to feel like I have, not to feel like they have to keep going with a business that doesn't make them happy, not to feel like money has to be the only motivator when it comes to, you know, to growing a business, because I wanted freedom. Yet what I created was the complete opposite of that. I created a monster.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you viewed freedom being money, not the other components or the big component, which is the time. Cause that's what really gives you freedom, is the time to be like, what am I going to do today? You know, 15 hours a week of work, and then I can just do whatever I want. Whether that's hanging out with the kids, or maybe you want to work more on something. That's awesome. Do you still do the Amazon FBA? Is it still just kind of a thing in the background, or are you fully on this business strategy thing?
I'm fully on this business strategy thing. I like that phrase. I'm fully on this. However, the business hasn't formally closed down yet. The e-commerce, that is happening literally as we speak. That is formally closing down. We sort of stopped trading on it just under a year ago now. Something was forced upon us that sort of said, right, we need to stop this now. It's, you know, it's a ball and chain still, even though it's not taking up much time.
Sure.
So I'm fully now doing the business strategy stuff, and I love it.
Well, congratulations. That's awesome. With the business strategy stuff, this is like your full-time thing now, which is super rad. And now you coach, you consult people, you help them grow their own businesses in a fulfilling way and make money, obviously. How did you kind of make this transition? And how did you kind of get the ball rolling with the business strategy stuff? Because it's definitely different than selling products. Now you're doing service-based. So how did you kind of like get connected with people and get your initial client base and begin to grow this this knowledge side of your business?
I started talking about my story. I started talking about, you know, what I had been through and what I'd experienced. And I launched a book as well. I wrote a book, which I launched in October 2022, which talked through my journey. And it also talked through the steps that I took to turn it around completely, you know, and how I built this business, the new business. But just by starting to talk on, you know, social media and places like that about my journey, people got really curious, because they obviously thought, right, okay, this person can grow, you know, £1 million business. She knows what she's doing. But actually, I'm intrigued about the on your terms bit, about growing a business that you love piece. So it's just talking, just starting to talk.
Yeah. So you just talked to people like in your local area, or did you go to networking events, like social media? What were you kind of doing, making content? What do you mean by talking?
It was initially, it was mainly content on social media. It was mainly me talking, you know, going on social media, connecting with other people, you know, and then that has grown. You know, now I do a lot of networking. I run my own events. You know, there's a lot more that I've built into that now. But initially, it was pretty much really just going and talking on social media. And I did that initially because I wanted to build a bit of momentum behind the book launch, because that was like my first. The book launch was sort of like my, I'm here. This life's gone. This is my new life now. And I want to tell you all about it, because up until that point, I hadn't spoken to anybody about how the business had made me feel. And externally, other people probably hadn't seen the changes that we had made within the business, you know, in terms of the impact and everything that was going to have on my life moving forwards. You know, but I hadn't told anybody, you know, how low and how unhappy that business had made. So that the book was sort of the ta-da moment to say, ta-da, this is where I've been. And this is where
it's
I'm going.
It's really happening.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you feel that when you did become more transparent and more open, that you started to get more traction with your knowledge business?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Because, you know, people need to see you, don't they? They need to hear you, need to understand who you are and what you do. And, you know, until you start sharing, you know, the realities of things, I don't think they can necessarily see what your expertise is. You know, I've since gone on and become certified as a business strategist. So, you know, I've got the qualification and thing to back it all up and everything else that sits there now. But yeah, just starting to talk about my journey has made a massive difference in terms of the people that come into my world.
Yeah, I think that that's so big, because a lot of people, it's like the elevator pitch, you know, I help who do what, which is great. I mean, it's good to be clear about who you like to help and what you help them do. But I think that the other piece is like what you stand for too, and how your story complements what you stand for and why. I think that that's so big, because if you're just like, I help who do what, and you leave it there, then it's like, okay, you're just like another business strategist or whatever you want to call yourself, you know, but, or relationship expert, but talking about your experience with this thing called business or whatever you're an expert in, relationships, weight loss, you know, intimacy, whatever you want to teach people. That's what I think really showcases expertise, because you said, oh, now I have the credential or the accolade to back it up. But Emma, if you're telling me your story, I don't even care about some freaking medal you got, like, awesome, you know, good for you for getting it. Your badge of honor is the thing that you did. You built the million-pound business. You quit it because you wanted more freedom, and then you made it happen. You know, that's your badge of honor. That's your accolade. And I think that people can, I hope people hear that and think about their story, and when they present what they do to people, like, share the story and stories of lessons learned in your experience with the thing that you want to teach or do. And people will be like, dude, you're legit. Like, you are an expert, because experts speak from experience. They teach from experience. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. And I agree. Your own story is super powerful. And, you know, I think your own story is also the thing that sets you apart from other people. It makes you unique, and what brings the right people for you into your world, isn't it? So yeah, absolutely. I agree. Sharing your story is important, but I do like my badge of honor.
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah, no, good on you. Proud, be proud. I have certifications too. And it's like, cool, I did the work. It did help too. You know, well, a lot of people when they're getting started and all this, they're like, I need to be certified. And it's like, what really matters is that you're able to help people and that you get out there and start helping people. Like, I know it's so simple, it's so dumbed down, but that's how simple that it is. Me getting certifications and coaching and stuff, I learned a lot about how to coach people and how to ask better questions and listen to my intuition, you know, as well, and things like that, which were really great skills that gave me more confidence to get out in the field and start doing the real work, which is helping people. So I just hope that someone can really grasp that idea if you're struggling with that. So Emma, you've learned a lot. You've been on a big journey, and now you're teaching people with this stuff and sharing your knowledge, getting paid for it, which is the point of the show. That's why you're here. What advice would you give to someone who's thinking about getting started in a coaching service style business and teaching like their skill sets and getting paid for it? What advice would you give to that person?
A really simple piece of advice. This is not even a strategic piece of advice, really. This is about really understanding what success means to you and making sure that whatever you do within your business, you build it around that exact thing. Because I think what we often do is once we start to grow a business, we start to see the money coming in, we get carried away by things that aren't necessarily taking us in the direction that we want to go in. So for me, the key thing for starting any business, you know, whether it's coaching or whatever business it is, really, is you really need to understand what success to you is, because you don't want to look like a successful person. I look super successful, you know, to the outside world. I was a super successful person. But I never felt it. And I think that's the important thing, isn't it? We need to feel successful, and we only feel it when it's our version of success. So that's my key. Get to know what that is first.
Right. And that was the tipping point for you. It's like you were making money. And I mean, even before that, success was money. It was making a lot of money. And then that happened. And then you had to reevaluate what success now meant to you from your experience. And it's like, success to me is making enough money to support me and the people I care about and do the cool things that we want and afford that. But it's really helping other people never be in that position, you know, having the freedom to be with my kids and my family and pursue things that I want. So I think that it's such a great lesson. Thanks so much, Emma. We're going to come in for a landing, and I just want to ask you, where can people learn more about you and get connected?
The best place to learn more about me is my website, which is emmahine.co.uk. But if you want to follow my crazy journey of life, which is not always going to be on my website, then come and follow me on Instagram. I am Emma Hine.
Okay, awesome. We'll put links down in the description. For the listener, I hope you got a lot of ideas and kind of aha moments from this episode. It's a lot of just reassurance, you know, for me of hearing this stuff, because I think the same way that Emma does. Like, I have spent a lot of time in the early years just working hard because that's what I thought you had to do. And it's like, now I work 20 hours or less per week intentionally, and I leave it at that. And it's like, of course I can do more, but I'm good. And my income has grown and it continues to grow each month, and I'm happy. And I get to support me and my girlfriend, the people I care about. We're going to Tahoe tomorrow to go snowboarding at the time of this recording, and hanging out with some friends and stuff. And it's going to be awesome. And it's, that's the kind of stuff that that's what success looks like to me, you know, and that's what I'm doing. So I think I love Emma's advice. You know, it's from a real expert, someone who's really doing this stuff and just taking kind of that life assessment of what you really want success to be for yourself, and working towards it, you know, and always keeping that in mind. And just like being like, am I really on that track? If you're want to have more time and you're just grinding all the time, it's like, that's not what success looks like to you. So reevaluate, come back to that North Star, and adjust from there. So I hope you got inspiration from this episode. I know I did. The biggest thing is that you do something with this. Take what you learned here, get out there, make something happen. Implementation is your only superpower, and we will see you in the next one.